Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Sexy Unique Podcast. And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shanghals.
Okay, so I'm really excited about the guest on this episode because he's part of the like bro contingency that's obsessed with Vanderpump Rules that I really didn't know existed until like a year ago. So please welcome Matt Lally.
Bro shame right out the gate. I am honored to be here in the hallowed and storied halls of the SUP podcast, FKA.
I'm honored to have you.
I don't want to say like when I thought about it because I wasn't thinking about it because then I would have known it wasn't the case. But I guess when I just like very superficially allowed my mind to wander to a place of imagination about this, I sort of pictured myself like pulling up to like an office building on Wilshire and going up to like a little
in a studio.
I've never done this is my first podcast experience, but for the listeners, it does take place at your apartment. It's gorgeously appointed.
Thank you.
Very good vibes.
It's a good vibe here.
It's way better space. Than, I'm so glad we're not in like some kind of sterile.
With like overhead lighting, like the neon lighting.
Just cultivating like, we're just dishing.
Yeah. I'm like, come sit on the couch. I'll turn a lamp on.
We're going to dish about our pals.
Mm-hmm. So you've been a fan from the get-go.
I was big into Housewives, like first season OC Housewives.
Wow.
But
that's a twist I did not see coming.
When I was living in LA, my roommate was into Beverly Hills Housewives. So I had stopped watching all that kind of stuff, but my reference point was there, so I was happy to sit and watch with her.
Yeah.
So I just kind of serendipitously caught the masterpiece entree into...
You followed like Sheena with the tray into all of a sudden Vanderpump Rules land.
And I saw it coming and I was like, wait. You know, you didn't notice, and then you noticed and you're like, wait.
The seamless transition.
Yes.
And so were you on board like right away? You were like, I'm so down with this. Like,
could not have been more down.
Wow.
Because I'm a writer, you know, but I, my, you know, day job or night job or whatever you want to call it is I've been working in restaurants for years. So that was the first, besides, you know, I guess you had like, there's some kind of like restaurant-y type reality shows, but this felt to me immediately like this is going to be the first like real sort of around my age group behind the scenes working in a restaurant reality show. So that it was like the perfect storm for me.
Love that.
That's why I get excited now when you guys have talked in the past about how when they just jam in these like seemingly out of place Sir storylines with like everyone's in New Orleans, but then they got to do the part where
like a cabbage soup moment.
Yeah, the poor girl is trying to like recite the specials to
Katie O'Malley
to Lisa. Katie O'Malley,
R.I.P. Katie O'Malley. You had your moment in the sun.
That's when I peek back up for those. I'm
so
into
they're doing
those.
It for you, basically.
Yeah, I love those, and that's why. And that's more. I mean, you guys have been sort of teasing a little bit, talking about like the Jax Brittany spinoff. That's not interesting to me.
You wouldn't watch that.
I certainly will tune in to give it a shot, but I don't have a high expectation that I'll stay hooked in.
Yeah. Now I saw something this past week where he was asked about the reality spinoff and he kind of brushed it off as like, maybe it's not happening. He was like, they talk to a lot of us about like a lot of spinoffs. So I'm like, no one even knows what the truth is anymore.
When you guys first started talking about it, it sounded like just kind of conjecture on your part, but it's like, oh, it seems like it's from where I'm sitting. It seems like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like you guys have been talking about it. And then like,
know,
you've been hearing bits and pieces. You put it in the out there.
I willed this into existence.
Yeah. But another thing but you guys also mentioned that it also maybe felt like Lisa's lining up a new crop.
It does feel like Lisa's lining up a new crop. I think especially with like her talk of like partnering with Sandoval to open a new location, that has a lot of possibilities for the future.
I mean, here's the spinoff that I'm looking
okay,
for.
Yeah.
New restaurant. Mm-hmm. classic cast members such as your Sandoval and your Peter working in managerial positions at that restaurant, trying to corral a new young crop.
That's smart. That's really smart.
That's what I want to see.
I like that.
Because I like it when it's tethered to the working in the restaurant. You know?
I need there to be an alley. Where people can
and a fake
meet and talk.
I need there to be the alley, and I need like the fake. Oh, like can you cover my tables for while I go outside for half an hour?
Yeah. I really miss the alley. So I was also, and we'll get into it in a second, but I was very happy that there was like an alley moment in this episode. Because I've just been like,
when Lala comes back.
Yeah, when Lala like emerges from the bowels of the Sur Alley to like,
I was having a hard time sort of like parsing what her motivation for the return was.
I feel like it was more for the viewer to kind of like wrap up her storyline with a bow.
Let's
and throw
get a little
character away.
Let's get a closure on Lala, because it was kind of under the guise of like another apology for Ariana.
It was an apology for Ariana. It was also like the best is she's comes out and she's like, well, I'm here to really tell Lisa that I'm not working here anymore.
Neither of it made sense, because I already felt like her missing Ariana, the drama of her missing Ariana's birthday party felt produced to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, you know, they had she had a spot that they had planned for and they could have got somebody else to do it, but it didn't seem like that big of a deal that she like ghosted on the birthday party.
Really? It seemed like a big deal to me. Like, I felt like she actually like didn't show up that day and they were like, hello.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that it's like any skin off their back at the end of the day, but I feel like it was just a weird thing that she did where it was like she just never showed and then never responded to any like texts or calls.
I guess for me, I have flaky people in my life,
mm-hmm.
and for my own sanity, or I mean, for better or worse, whatever, I guess I've like adopted a policy of just like not sweating the flakiness that much anymore.
You're just surrounded by
Lala. So for me, I was ready to just be like, oh, Lala flaked, like, let's move on.
See her in a few weeks.
You know? And then you'd be like, hey, Lala, just like, you know, we're not mad, but I want you to know that, you know, we had planned for you to join us, and we, you know, whatever, Sheena could have come.
Sheena,
or whatever.
Meanwhile,
I remember. Oh no, who was, somebody else was like gunning for the other spot.
No, it was
Kennedy.
Sheena. Was it Kennedy?
Somebody wanted to go on
if
that.
Sheena wanted to go, and then they were like, no, sorry. And then she was stuck going on the girls' trip to Montauk, which truly looked like hell. And you've been watching Summer House now.
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I have not. I watched I knew they were going to copy
the format.
The seamless thing, but
they
I just.
Like, now here are these weird like Aryans in Montauk.
I can't get into Summer House because maybe it's I need there to be at least one or two characters that I find attractive,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and whether it be like you know, a Schwartz type guy that is a person that I could picture myself hanging out with, or whether it's like, you know, just like a babe like Ariana or whatever, you know, but they don't have that for me on.
That's true.
On Summer House, I know that we're not supposed to be doing like
we can get into
the talk about people's like personal appearances type stuff, but
I mean, we can't. I do have a no fat shaming policy,
right.
But I think it's fine to like say you're not attracted to anyone on the Summer House cast. And I have to agree with you that I'm also not. And I feel like that's probably, now that you're saying it, the reason that I could not like form an attachment to that show. Because even the guys, I was like, who are these guys?
You have to have it just like, you have to have at least like just like one person that you're is like a little spicy.
You need a Jax for you, you know? Me. Yeah. I need like that kind of like dangerous. But also I'm more into like a West Coast, the like West Coast narrative of Vanderpump Rules, which is like all these transplants like ended up here and it's like gritty and they're just trying to make it happen. And it's like LA attracts like a different type of like hot person than New York does, I'd say.
The Vanderpump milieu is like honest and organic. These people came from where, you know, Winter Park, Park, Florida, wherever they came from, and got restaurant jobs and are trying to be musicians and actors. Like the Hamptons, like New York-y thing when they're trying to, I mean, I grew up in New York City, so it's like I'm really tuned in when these people that are not native New Yorkers are trying to like explain to you like how like the Hamptons works, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't cut it for me.
You're like, I know the truth.
Sheena was in a tight spot where she was on the outs with the girls at that point, but it's like they were simultaneously like didn't want her on the girls trip that weekend. But like she would have been in hot water if she had gone to the NASCAR race.
I think Sheena,
that was like a lose-lose for,
she's always in the lose-lose scenario. But I think she kind of makes that herself because she is a little bit wishy-washy and like doesn't fully commit to one decision or the other. So then she finds herself like on this weird Montauk trip where it's like she doesn't want to eat seafood, she doesn't want to drink, she's like doesn't really want to like do anything that those girls want to do, but she'd rather just do that than even stay home and have like a reflective like self-care weekend.
Yeah, she's so malleable, you know. Mm-hmm. That's her whole stee, is like she just wants to be there, and so has to be inoffensive to all parties.
Yeah, and it's also like all the stuff with her and Shay at this point is like, it's so dark to me, like any time that they're in the same room, because it's clear that there's something really sinister going on. Like Shay is done with this relationship and Sheena is still kind of trying to like play to the cameras and play to everyone that it's like they're gonna go to a fertility doctor and like go live their lives and like maybe have a baby, and he's working on something special in the studio for her. And I'm like, he's like snorting Xanax in the studio, like avoiding your calls and texts.
So ostensibly his project that he's working on is some kind of tribute to Sheena or something.
When she's in the restaurant like with Jax and Katie and they're like having like a quick like rundown, Jax is like, where's Shay? And then Sheena's like, oh, he's been in the studio so much, but like we're gonna go to a fertility doctor like next week because like we've been married for 2 years. And like everyone's kind of like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then she said, like, when she's walking away, she's like, but he's working on something special, like, for me. And then, like, walks away.
All right. So I'm a bit of, like, a Vanderpump purist,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that I don't tune in for any current events, any cast-related current events.
Mm-hmm.
I don't follow any cast members on Twitter. I don't. So I'm, like, intentionally not in tune with what's going on with Sheena and Shay's relationship. I guess I kind of
but you know that they like got, they're like getting a divorce, right?
Right. I've heard that,
yeah.
You know, but I haven't like read up on it, you know. So as far as my experience goes,
mm-hmm.
as far as I know, they're still together. As far, all,
so at this point, you're like, they're
all
together.
All I know
is
the latest that I learned on Monday night.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I guess, you know, part of me in the back of my mind knows that ultimately he's going to drain the bank account and they're going to get a divorce, but I'm staying with the current truth that I know, which is that they're still together. But I am...
So you're just coming from a place of hope.
Is him being, like, he's always in the stew, like...
He's in the studio.
But who is that, true or is that made up? And who, and if it's a lie, who's lying? Is Shay lying to Sheena and saying that he's in the studio when he's just like camped out at his friend's house because he doesn't want to be around her, or he's using or something, or is there something else going on that Sheena knows about and she's just lying to everybody and saying that he's in the studio? Because it gets brought up so much.
It gets brought up so much. It's not her favorite phrase.
It's not true.
It's she's putting, definitely not
she's
true.
Putting that face on it so she can be like, yeah, you know,
he's working so hard.
Shay is a musician, but even
he's laying down tracks in the studio.
To even
I don't know.
To even
and I don't
to
think...
even consider Shay as a musician is so dubious.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever know who the lie is coming from, but it definitely is a lie. Like, his last song was by Felicia. You know what I mean? Like, it's not coming together for Shay, Mike Shay.
And when Shay is Shay. There? So you're more, a little more in tune with what's going on presently. So I wanted to ask you: is there like a Mike Shay project release date? Is
I don't something think that there's a release date. Out? But do you remember
is something dropping?
I don't know when it's dropping. But I will say that. Do you remember that YouTuber that got in big trouble for like fat shaming like sometime last year?
Maybe.
There was this girl, it was like mildly scandalous, like the Daily Mail had a story about it. But this like YouTuber basically went on a rant against obese people and like fat shamed them and was like, why are you so fucking fat? Like, stop eating for God's sake. And like did this whole rant. And then everyone got their panties in a twist and were like, how fucking dare you? Yeah. And then she was like a pariah after that. So that girl is who Mike Shay is in the studio with. Like, that's his now new, like, musical partner.
They're collabing.
They're collabing. I don't know what they're...
She became famous for the fat-shaming faux pas, but she was a musician to begin with?
Or she's
just
a musician.
She's just an internet person.
It's like
the
nebulous world of, like, YouTuber, internet person, musician, whatever.
Yeah.
So they're in a collab. I don't know what's happening. I don't follow Mike Shay, I don't think, on any social media. I just like let the world tell me when he does something. So I'm sure I'll know whenever it happens.
Because he's just a walking like ZZZ
he's so
emoji.
Over it.
But however, you guys have touched on it and I must agree, he is looking good.
He's looking great. He's never looked better.
He lost the beard. He lost like 10 pounds of beard. He lost like 10 pounds of face.
He's doing this like stubble thing and his face is kind of hollowed out from how much he hates his life and like his soul's been sucked out. And so he kind of has this like dangerous, sexy thing happening that's like, it speaks to a dark part of me that gets attracted to that kind of vibe, but I will say that I enjoy watching it from a distance and I'm into it.
You can watch there was a moment in the latest episode that there's been a few of these moments where you watch him just going through the motions of their relationship.
Anytime that they're in their bedroom, he becomes like just an animatronic, like he's like puts the pillows on the bed and like takes them off and kind of just stares at her. Like when they were packing, I was actually uncomfortable. I was like recoiling. So I was like, he hates her. He's talking about doing her laundry.
I do your
like
laundry.
Not knowing...
I don't know what these are supposed to be.
And also,
and she's like, babe, it's a pantsuit, babe. Can you see
it? It wasn't a pantsuit. P.S. That was a jumpsuit.
A jumpsuit or like a long
one piece.
Or what do you call like a romper with pants on it?
It's like that's like kind of a jumpsuit. Just like it's a pantsuit, and he just gives her. He's now just a continual blank stare when she talks. He just blinks kind of in her general direction, and then she's like,
His hatred for her and their entire predicament that he's got himself stuck in.
It's palpable.
Is palpable.
Yeah.
Which kind of, I think, segues us nicely into the sort of running theme of the past few episodes, which is like, how are these like purported friends of Katie and Schwartz like allowing this marriage to happen?
I think everyone is complicit in the let's bottle it up and not talk about it. I think when there's meltdowns happening, everyone gets riled up and into the drama and lets their opinions fly. And it's like they're all boozing. So it's like a free emotional roller coaster. And then once Katie and Schwartz kind of level out, and then they like look into each other's eyes and they're like, we're not going to fight. Bottle it up. We're moving on. We'll never talk about it again.
They actually used the phrase bottle it up.
What continually shocks me is that like how unself-aware everyone is. Like they try to have these moments of being like confront their demons or their problems, but then ultimately it's like they get so close to the edge and then just retreat back into themselves.
Yeah,
like,
and by their own admission are okay with
chill.
They acknowledge, like, yeah, they use the phrase bottle it up. I think like the sweep it under the rug has been used.
And everyone supports it too. So they're like, okay.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's like, I just think that they're emotionally immature. Like when Sheena, one of the best moments of this episode, which ties into it, is when they're all the girls are trying on their bridesmaid dresses. And Sheena's like, you know, like, you just need to learn how to communicate. Like me and Shay, we went to therapy once, didn't need it again. We knew how to talk to each other. And it's like, Sheena, that's not how therapy works. Like, I think she just doesn't understand, like, kind of how life works. Like,
that harkens back
to the sobriety.
Yeah,
thing,
where, you know, Shay needed to seriously get sober. And her version of that was like, oh, yeah, I can't be with someone who's going to not drink. How could you do that? You just like, just don't get crazy. Yeah, get a buzz on, have a couple glasses.
Get like a chill buzz and then like have fun for God's sake. And then she's like, went to therapy. The way she delivered that line was like, I was like, am I watching The Office right now? Like, it's like a character that's like, she delivered it with like a comedy cadence that I really appreciated.
Sheena is wild out of touch.
She's really out of touch. But then that just kind of is reflective of the whole the group mentality, which is like a lot of shit's going on, but you know, it's okay. And we'll like get back to that place. And even like when they were talking about Tequila Katie, when she had her thing at Pandora's house, and then Stassi kind of stuck up for her, and she was like, so what? She like gets drunk and screams at her boyfriend. Like, we all do that.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
This isn't normal behavior.
That doesn't excuse it.
No.
You think that, so Jax has been kind of floating it a little bit. Like, he's doing like the passive aggressive, like saying it and then acting like he's joking, you know, floating the idea of like, Tom, maybe like you want to not get married, you mm-hmm. know, but you think that Sand, you know, as such a someone who cares about Schwartz so much, that Sandoval would maybe step up and someone needs to take him aside and be like, don't do this. There's no reason for you to do this. Tom Schwartz could get an amazing girl that would be a great match for him in 5 seconds flat.
Yeah.
And even Katie, I feel like, could rebound very successfully from this relationship.
Their stock has, like, risen since the inception of Vanderpump Rules, and they're, like, they're definitely more high profile than they were. And also, but I also think that them breaking up fractures the friend group in a way that no one would want.
I think that's a lot of what's going on, is, like, if you just have, like, your boy who's dating some nightmare girl that everybody hates, it's a lot and then he's like, oh, yeah, like,
yeah, and I'm then you're like, get out of this.
Then it's easier to take him aside. But when, you know, everybody's friends with Katie Maloney, like in their own right too, you mm-hmm. know, so that you know, Katie is a person that is their friend that they like and they enjoy hanging out with. So it's like they're having difficulty like navigating the fact that to maybe convince Schwartz to do what's right for him might be
negatively affecting,
sabotaging
her.
What Katie wants.
Yeah.
It would be a better move for both of them to get out of the relationship, but Katie has a lot more riding on it in terms of what she's convinced herself that she wants versus Schwartz, who's just so in over his head and doesn't have like the tools to make a tough decision that's going to maybe hurt somebody's feelings but ultimately be better for everybody in the long run.
Yeah. Schwartz is not, I don't think, in touch with like the self-care side of himself.
It was cute, you know, when they were just dating. You know, that's always been Schwartz's shtick, mm-hmm. is like he's just cute. He's got that thing that, you know, some women are into, where they're like, oh, I'm gonna you know babysit him or whatever, like mom him, you know.
Yeah.
And you really saw that like taken to the extreme when they're trying to squash it in New Orleans, and he's doing like the like ripping shots from the bottle and spraying.
And like
Ready Whip in his mouth. You can see that this is a tool that he's using. That's his whole mechanism, is to just like be like helpless and cute. And you can tell that Katie melts for it. You know, you watch her.
Yeah,
she's just like, oh, he's just so adorable. He's just so helpless.
I know, like, but watching that, I was just like, oh my god! Like, I can't imagine having that be someone's like fighting style.
Yeah,
where you're like trying to just have a conversation with your boyfriend, and he's just being like silly Schwartz, like drinking and spitting stuff out on himself.
Very strange.
It was very strange. But then they also just like come to know. There's just no resolution at the end of the day. It's just like, we're gonna table this. And then maybe revisit whenever the next time is that we like blow up at each other. And like the marriage feels like an expensive band-aid to put on the entire situation.
A lot of people make the mistake in their relationship where the relationship is not going well. And they're like, okay, maybe if we get engaged, that'll save it. And then you see a lot of married couples are like, oh, maybe if we have a kid.
Kids,
I mean,
this is
a classic mistake
that
people make. You thought that Lisa was going to be the hero by pumping the brakes on officiating the wedding. And even people like Jackson Sandoval were like, okay, Lisa's finally saying what everyone's thinking,
mm-hmm.
which is like, she's like, I don't feel comfortable putting my stamp on this thing unless I feel like it's legit.
But then what's crazy is that it's like, none of that, I don't think, is actually a legitimate, like, she's not like legitimately taking a stand.
You don't think that she really cares?
No, I don't think she gives a shit. I think it's like a show, so for drama for the show, it helps if she's like, I don't know.
The timeline didn't make any sense.
No, they're like 3 days
because we've been hearing the figure of 2 weeks for a minute now, like,
yeah.
the wedding is 2 weeks away. What is Lisa expecting Katie and Tom to achieve and demonstrate to her in like the 3 days after they got like the telegram request
and
or whatever?
Like, everything, you know, we've really been on this path, we're like reconnecting, we're starting to fall in love again, and it's like, do you really want to be saying that like right before you're like committing your entire life to this person? Like,
yeah.
It's just not making a lot of sense. It's not tracking.
It would have been heroic for Lisa to actually take a stand and just be like,
yeah, for someone to be like, no, you guys aren't getting married.
For anyone to just be like, I'm not cool with this.
What would you do if you were in that situation?
This happened in real life. My best friend was dating a girl that was not a good match for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing the thing where he was like, they had a lot of trust issues in their relationship. And he was like, maybe if I just ask her to marry me, then that will, she'll kind of chill on the not trusting me tip.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me aside and he let me know that he was going to ask her to marry her. And I was like, listen, man, after this, as your friend, I'm going to support you in what you do. But at this moment, I'm going to say this one time and one time only, do not do it. But he did it anyway.
Yeah.
They got engaged.
The thing is, you can really only say, as a friend, you have a one-time opportunity to be like, I do not like this at all. And then you have to just like sit back.
But I found myself making the same excuse for Tom and Katie that I was making for my friend, which is to think, okay, maybe there's something to this relationship behind closed doors that we don't see,
mm-hmm.
you know, a tenderness when they're alone with each other. You know, they've been together a long time. There's a dynamic to this relationship that doesn't have a public face necessarily. And that's the foundation of it that it's really built on, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's just like a rationalization, you know?
Yeah, I think what you see is what you get. Like, and something that struck me about Tom and Katie's relationship is like he's not like a super motivated person, right? And she is, I would say, more motivated than he is. But the two of them together, like, they're the crux of their relationship is like, let's eat garbage food and watch Pauly Shore movies, which is chill. Like, I love that plan, but I feel like that's just their general like life plan. And to me, that seems like an unhealthy, like, you're supporting kind of unhealthiness in each other.
You can't have a healthy relationship with another person if you don't have like your own like inborn motivation towards your own stuff that you're doing, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a balance. Like, you need to watch Pauly Shore movies, but then you also need to go see, like, Moonlight. You need to eat unhealthy food, but then you need, like, a kale smoothie. You need to, like, work out together sometimes. Like, it's a yin-yang, and I think they have too much yin and not enough yang.
I know we're kind of in the current episode, but I wanted to touch on just, like, one or two things from the episode before that, primarily pertaining to Kristen Doty.
Mm-hmm.
You guys talked about when she is like coaching Stassi for her date, how what she tells her to bring the three items. You guys talked about this on the last sub episode, but I think you guys didn't mention that these are the Kristen Doty ABCs of dating.
Yeah.
The A is Adderall.
Oh.
The B is Plan B.
And the C
is condoms.
God, she just has all her fucking bases covered. I'm really into Kristen, like, where she is at right now in her life and just, like, on the show. I think that, like, we're kind of coming into a new era of Kristen Doty where she's owning how insane she is.
She's embodying, like, iconic status.
Yeah.
At this point. Her, the way that she does cigs is everything to me.
Because you'd send me that screenshot of her, like, ripping the cig in the alley when she, like, has like a cokey confrontation with Sandoval and I was dying. Like, she is just like hot.
You can tell when people are new to the cigarette game. I don't know if you ever noticed this. You can kind of tell when a person's trying to be cool and first start smoking cigs, they do it with the two fingers very vertical.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get more and more cigarette experience, you get more and more horizontal. But Kristen's, like, cigarette smoking expertise is so advanced. She's coming with, like, such a powerful inhale. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so indicative of, like, of everything that's going on with her. She's got to suck down this cigarette so hard.
She gets, like, emotional in her cigarette smoking. Like, when she just lights it and has that first, like, the first solid rip, it's powerful.
There was a moment of, like, maybe the, like, last season or two seasons ago when someone is, like, letting her have it, and she's just using this cig so hard.
Oh, it was the one where she's like, suck a dick, like, where she's out in the, and Natalie is like yelling at her, and then I just saved a bunch of those gifs on my desktop because I was like, that's an iconic Kristen cigarette moment.
And she's retreating into the cigarette because she knows that what's being said to her is true.
She's processing, and then she uses it to, like, she, like, points at people with it, which is a really favorite move of mine with, like, smokers, is to be like, get out of here. It's powerful.
Smoking cigarettes, I mean, in this day and age, is just a crazy thing to do.
It's a psychotic thing
to do.
Full
stop.
You can't do it anymore. It's sad. Like, I miss it a lot. I really wish that it was, like, the 1950s, and it was just, like, very acceptable, but it's true suicide. Kristen Doty cares not for these rules. She's gonna smoke no matter what.
Then she had another queen moment with the flask bottle at the bridal.
Her little to-go wine. Yeah.
Where she's like, you know, that she's demonstrating that, oh, this, the dress has got the little pocket that the flask bottle's gonna fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, you know? But it's like, it's Katie's wedding. It's not the kind of event where you need to sneak a flask into. Like, it's going to have ample available booze.
Yeah.
So you know that Doty's just looking for any excuse to bring alcohol with her to the fitting.
I love, like, it's like, what, maybe 11 a.m. or like 12 p.m. And she's like, you know what I really need right now to get me through this fitting is, like, I'm just going to pack a roadie of white wine, like lukewarm wine that kind of just like gets warmer.
Was it wine or was it
like white wine? It was like one of those little tiny white
wines. I thought it was like a little, like, you know, like homeless person size, like, bottle of Smirnoff or something.
It was like a to-go wine.
And then she houses the full thing. She takes the full thing to the face,
she, like
before they leave.
She emerges from the dressing room, like, in mid-drink, mid-swig, and then like tucks it in her pocket and is just like feeling sassy.
That is also a spinoff that I would be interested in.
Kristen Doty, like, I would brush her teeth for like 30 minutes.
There's a certain type of guy, read me, that is like this just kind of like maniacal instability.
You're attracted to it.
It's problematic to like call a woman like crazy at this point, but like it's like crack cocaine.
Yeah.
And she, it's like,
cause she spent, it's like she sucks you into like a web.
Just that, there's like just like deep insanity behind her eyes.
The fact that she can get into a fight out of thin air, yeah, like that's a skill.
Yeah.
She's like, Tom Sandoval's like, hey, how are you? Can I bum a lighter? And she's like, yeah, you're a real fucking asshole. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't want to say it, but like, you are. And like, and then just goes off. And it's like, she's in Kristen Doty land and it's incredible. Like, okay, you don't follow like news or whatever, but she just recently tweeted, like, she has a book in the works, yeah, and she's like preparing to be a New York Times bestselling author.
What's the premise?
I think it's like how to be like a crazy stalker girlfriend.
She also is still has a lot of emotional stuff in the Sandoval basket.
Oh, totally.
That has yet to be like worked out. So that's why she's still, you saw it before when she was so invested in like the Miami girl, mm-hmm, thing. And it's like, it's under the guise of wants to expose Sandoval. Still, we saw it recently when she was like, oh, Schwartz never acts this way. It's only when he's around Sandoval. She's always trying to demonize Sandoval and expose Sandoval. But I think it really more just comes from a place of just like wanting to be involved with Sandoval,
yeah,
and tie herself to Sandoval somehow still.
Well, they also dated for 6 years.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, people say it takes you like half the time that you dated to like get over someone.
Yes.
So they haven't even been broken up for like 3 years yet. Like, and it feels like I just rewatched the iconic Doty scene where she like comes back to his apartment to get her mail, but she's dressed in that
to the nines,
literally dressed to go out
with a country club pour of Pinot Grigio wine drunk tied on.
Yeah.
Yo, that reminds me of one of my favorite things I've heard in recent memory, so perfectly, like really embodies a lot of what Sir's all about from like what they're offering as a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Lisa is so proud that it's a known thing. Everybody knows that Sir has the best pour.
Also, that's a lie. Like, that's a straight,
they don't have good
they
pours.
They don't have the best pour. I've like drank there a few times. I will say that Sandoval is an amazing bartender. He does like a good pour. But
yeah,
like, I went there for my birthday. I think it was like my 29th birthday and decided to have like a big dinner there. And Jax was bartending. And I went up and I was like, hey, like, can I just get like a special, like, will you just like make me like a special drink of,
yeah,
like gin? And then he acted like really like he was not into my request at all and like very dismissive. And the pour was like mediocre.
So you're talking about the liquor, the amount of liquor in the mixed drink.
The amount of liquor in the mixed
as
drink.
As opposed to like a wine glass pour.
Yeah.
We know that Jax is the weakest link when it comes to the mixing of the
He's
cocktails.
He's like a zero link.
And the pour.
He just solely exists.
He's given a lot of leeway.
He only has this job because he now just feeds information to Lisa, like just wags his tongue and tells her whatever she wants to know. And like, he's pretty charming, so he gets by on that, but like, he doesn't know the prices of anything. He doesn't like, he doesn't know where anything is. He's always like dropping glass bottles in the ice tank.
He's
like,
got tenure.
Yeah.
And I honestly respect that about Lisa, that she's like, fuck it, you know, like,
she's like, Jax,
it's
fine.
Jax, what I'm gonna do, I'm not gonna fire Jax.
Yeah,
you know,
she can't fire Jax.
Yeah, he's gonna,
but
get,
she's also not gonna ask him to partner up and do like another restaurant.
No,
you know.
And I mean, I think it's like, I mean, it's even to go that route with Sandoval is risky.
I disagree. I think like Sandoval is ready.
He's got
to
what
take,
it takes.
He's
I,
got
yeah,
what it
no,
takes.
Yeah, I think
and he
right.
has the
right.
passion to like take it to the next level. And I think that it's so interesting to me, like in their world, in this like Vanderpump world of like earned trust and like putting in the time and like proving yourself to yeah. Lisa and Ken really counts for something. I'm like, wow, that's like a huge vote of confidence.
He was going hard when they were trying to do the sangria deal. He should have trimmed the dead weight that was Tom Schwartz on that partnership.
That was just like so misguided. Do you think that that was actually real, or do you think that maybe for the show they were like, just try to do this maybe? Because it's like,
I think it was. I think that Sandoval was genuine. Just, Sandoval and Schwartz were like, okay, we got to do something that's not just, because that was in that time frame when Katie was putting a lot of pressure on Schwartz, not only to propose to her, but also to like maybe make something of himself, because Schwartz has never worked it. He's never worked at Sir.
No.
He had that one gig at Pump that he famously
tweaked
out and peaced out on. And so she was like, yo, you do like a catalog modeling gig, like,
once
every 5 months.
Yeah. The rest of the time, he's just, like, on the couch with the dogs.
Everyone has been letting themselves go. He's not rocking a model's physique anymore.
No, he walked out to the pool in New Orleans, and I was like,
Jax is certainly not rocking a model's physique anymore.
Jax is just, like, kind of just, he's doing the thing that that happens to a lot of men, I feel like, where they just get thick. Like, he's not, like, flabby. Like, some guys just get, like, they all of a sudden double up in size, kind of like an Alec Baldwin type of body journey.
Jax is rocking like a 90s WWF wrestler physique, you know, like a beefcake.
It's beefcake, like shaved.
He's big.
Oily.
There's not a lot of definition. You know who I realized that Jax reminds me of?
Who?
Are you familiar with Bebop and Rocksteady from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No.
They're villains who roll with Krang. One of them is a rhinoceros, and the other one is like a wild boar with a mohawk. I don't know if you.
I think that just jogged. Like, I just got like a memory kind of flashback of maybe what that is.
Yeah,
like from childhood.
I don't actually know which one is Bebop and which one is Rocksteady, but he is like a mashup of them both. I believe.
I love that. I love also when Lisa's telling him to pour, like, to do the pour the sangria, her instructions are make it look sexier.
Nobody wants a wine pour like that. That's like
a big fat. In a sangria, I guess you would want, like, it didn't look like it didn't even have ice in it. Like,
true. True. Also, it's the wrong size wine glass for a sangria. You want to use like a Bordeaux glass for a sangria. Have a nice big, like your Kris Jenner style.
Yeah.
Wine glass. But it's like, that's not a good look to have just a normal glass of wine be poured to the brim. You know, you want to, it's like.
No. Like sloshing over
no,
the edges.
That's actually like a pet, like a proper wine aficionado, that's like an over pour is like a pet peeve. You don't do it. You know what I mean? But it's just that just goes like, that's what I was saying before, that just goes hand in hand with what Sir is offering. You know, you're going to get like, you guys have touched on this before. You're going to get like a very like doable, like Milanese and like maybe a burrata and like a nice pour on, on your like buttery Chardonnay. You
like
know?
It's all going to be just fine, but it's not gonna be like crave worthy like I gotta get back there for those goat cheese balls. My god,
when I went to Sir, I characterized it as like if I decided I was gonna have some people over for dinner and I was gonna Google like a chicken marsala recipe and just make like a solid B/B+ entree, that's what you're getting.
Yeah. It's like you could and would make better food than they will make for you at Sir. But you're not going there for the food. You're going there for the wait staff.
I don't even think at this point you're likely to see, you know, a really spicy cast member. You're gonna get like your Brittany you're gonna get like, you're gonna a get lot. A Guillermo.
You'll definitely get Guillermo
on the DJing in the lounge.
You'll get Diana. She's there a lot.
Diana's the other partner, right?
Diana, like, no, Natalie's the other partner. Yeah. And then
Diana's the manager. Oh yeah. Oh, she's the one that Kristen says like, oh, like suck a dick.
Yeah. I mistakenly said Natalie, but it was really poor Diana.
Oh, God, I would die for Brittany to wait on me.
She tweets like every time that she's working.
Like tweets like a screenshot of her schedule.
She's always like doing like updates for when she
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Perks. I have a question for you.
Go on.
If you got the opportunity to become the manager and whip Sir into shape, would you take it? Yes or no?
We're talking like actual real life. You want to be the manager of Sir?
You want to move to LA? We need you at this restaurant. Clearly, you know what you're talking about with the wine glasses and such. We'll move you out here. You'll be in charge.
So is this a world where it's just a restaurant called Sir, or is this the reality show is going on? And
this
I
is like
gotta
everything's
be...
going on. You just got to like get into the fold. You may or may not have to be on camera, but like we need you. cute.
I think.
Would you take that on?
I think I would have to.
Yeah.
Just because I like to say yes to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a place right now where I would be available to mix it up.
I feel like you could get that job and then take Sir from like whatever it is now to like a Michelin level. Like I would love to know that transformation.
I don't know if it's salvageable. You would really need a full overhaul.
Chef. Yeah,
but it's not. But that's not true to Sir's
change, then.
Raison d'etre.
I want to see a chef's table episode of Sir. Like shot really beautifully, but just with the current like chef and like staff there.
What's the logical next concept for the restaurant that, you know, possibly Sandoval is going to do?
More like a pub.
A gastro pub.
I think it's a gastro
pub. That's a perfect fit for Sandoval as well. It's going to get you the dope cocktails with like the good bites on the side.
Yeah.
Did you know that Sandoval was low-key nasty at the French horn?
I did not know
that. That was news to you.
That was news to me. When he did the horse whimper, I was like, this bro's got talents we don't even know about.
That was a delightful surprise. I was also momentarily really giddy when I thought that Tom Schwartz was a triplet.
I know. I had a moment there, too, where I was like, there are multiple Schwartzes.
And then a bit crestfallen when I learned that he was not one of the triplets, but that he only had three triplet brothers, but then almost immediately brought back up with the whole promise of what these triplets may bring.
I'm like, okay, so I have a lot of questions about the like family element of this wedding. Like, why is his family not coming to his wedding?
Okay, this is, I have a lot on this.
Okay, yeah,
like,
go.
For, just continue to say that I could not be more excited to meet these triplets.
Mm-hmm.
I love the dynamic that they already have with Jax.
I love seeing Jax get like flustered by another person where he's just like, God, you don't get, oh God. And like, Jax has never been like more passionate and more like stressed out about anything in his life than trying to get these triplets like on the plane, like get their ticket.
I can really ID with the kind of frustration that comes from like trying to get a plan together and have some like flakes not being able to, when Jax is getting frustrated about the logistics,
yeah,
you know, and it's like they apparently like, so he said that they all three of them live at home with Schwartz's mom.
In the same room.
They all work the same job. We haven't learned what the job is that they all work. I'm like picturing them some kind of custodial thing. They all share a pay-as-you-go burner phone.
It's like really wild. There's like triplet. Did it show a photo of them in this episode?
As far as I don't think there was a visual. Maybe there was like a family photo when they were all young. But it's very TBD.
There was a brief photo in which I noted that they look nothing like Tom Schwartz.
They have like, you could hear the Schwartz in the kid's voice when he was talking, like a very pure, very like base Tom Schwartz.
And lots of questions like, should I talk to some, like really like timid?
It's a surprise. Don't tell Schwartz. All right, cool, cool. So like, should I talk to Schwartz about it?
And Jax is getting red-faced.
Jax is getting so cheesed off.
He's and being, forced to drink this smoothie with the raw egg in it that he didn't want.
And I love how he's like, no. He's, like, yelling at Brittany. He's like, I gotta call Sandoval. I gotta talk to Sandoval. I gotta get with Sandoval on this. I gotta coordinate with Sandoval. But, okay, so my whole thing with this is that there is a fourth wall to the show that is never broken, mm-hmm. is... how much money do these people make?
Yeah.
They're purported to just make the money that they make from Sir and maybe their modeling gigs on the side, but I'm sure they're paid by Bravo for being on the show, right?
Yeah.
How much money do they make? Tom?
They shill on Instagram.
They do what? They got the glasses promos. You got your skinny tees.
Yeah. So, yeah, but what was weird to me is that we see them in getting their prenup. And like basically, and
there's no money in the
account.
There's
no money. There's like $200. But then suddenly $20,000 has materialized out of nowhere to like cover the first check for
the
wedding.
A check. There's money in the bank account. Moreover, you're dropping 50K large on the wedding, 10 G's on the flowers alone. How is it that you can't drop the extra 1,500 to fly out the triplets?
Yeah. There's a lot of things are not adding up about Tom's family at this wedding.
How is it that you think that your dad would be able to, you know, get his dentist buddy to give him a Xan, get on the plane, or drive.
Or drive.
Figure it out.
Get on a bus.
The sister can't get work off?
It's really weird.
There's something else going on there.
There's something else going on. I think that it's like his family is like not down with the wedding.
I think that, I think you're exactly right. I think it speaks to the fact that nobody really supports this union.
If you're like, I'm sorry, just like can't take off work for this day. But also they did get married on a Wednesday, which does throw a wrench into like the work week. But I mean, for a big life event such as a marriage, it's a little bit shady to be like, I gotta go to work.
Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm speaking from a position of privilege of having the means to like get places when I need to get them. But yeah. I just feel like if your son or your brother is getting married, you get to the wedding, figure it out.
Yeah. Or if you're like insisting on having a destination wedding and like your family is like, it's going to be hard for us to get there, then you factor, like you said, you factor that into the budget of the entire wedding is like, okay, we need to pay for the family's like travel accommodations.
It's a no brainer. Or you have the wedding in the place where your family lives.
It seems really, really shady. And also what's even shadier is no one's really addressing like the real reason why. To not be able to get work off is not a legitimate excuse.
It's possible that the triplets thing is cooked up to have like the surprise moment. I don't think we're gonna see a surprise Mr. Schwartz appearance.
No, I think his dad is just like out, like not coming to the wedding. Also, if I was getting married to someone, I would like really want their parents to be there to like see it. Like that would be a priority to me to be like, make sure that my husband's family is like at the wedding.
Of course.
Enjoying.
Of course. That's the only reason to get married.
I know. And Katie has nothing. What's also interesting is she has just nothing to say about the absence of his family.
They're just bottling it up.
They're bottling it up. They're not going to fight.
Sweep it under the rug. James Kennedy is back.
God, I had missed him so much.
Bless him.
And also Raquel, my queen, is back. Blank staring, like not truly understanding what's going on.
I didn't realize how much I missed James Kennedy until he graced my screen. And Raquel has she hasn't had a whole lot of screen time this season, but when I saw her face, it was like,
it's like coming home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know like, why that is. Has she maybe been in something before that I've seen her? There was a familiarity there.
I don't think so. I think it's just like that beauty queen like look where it's like she's kind of his girl next door, like such a little sweetie face that you're
You're obsessed with my boyfriend. Am I reading that right?
When they're like, let's make a toast. And then her eyes kind of like widened. And then it was like as though she did not know what a toast was. And then everyone raised their glass and like said like to family. And then she was like, to the family. And like Raquel is just like 400 steps behind everyone around her. But God love her for it.
James is getting misty.
He's so emotional.
That's real.
Man
stuff.
Yeah.
That's real man stuff.
He's had James, to deal with a lot.
James is a sweet kid.
He's a sweetie.
And anything that you would be able to villainize him over is coming from that place.
He is dealing. I mean, his parents got divorced. His mom is clearly unhinged. And like he has to take on all that kind of trauma of his parents' relationship. Plus, you know, his godfather, George Michael, passed away. He's having to deal and come to terms with that. He's battling a substance abuse issue.
He's working through some stuff.
He's a struggling DJ and just trying to get gigs.
It's not always, he's not always doing it in the most elegant fashion.
It's going to be messy.
But he's getting through it. He's a young man. He's going to make like an amazing 35-year-old.
And that's also, we forget that he's what, like 24 at this point? He's a baby.
He's 24 or whatever. With the way that he was probably raised, he's probably got like, you know, the emotional intelligence of a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
I used some grass the other day and attempted to watch an episode of VDP,
mm-hmm.
and it mangled my brain.
Which episode were you watching?
It was maybe, it must have been 4 or 5 episodes back. You know how that thing where it's like, smoke the pot, and then you get like, even if you're just trying to watch like Elf or something, you get mm-hmm. really caught up in like the choices that the actors are making. You overthink it. It's classic stuff. But so I became really tuned in to who was being genuine, your Britney's,
mm-hmm.
and who was like, but just reading off a script that they'd created in their own mind, you know, your Sheena's and your, to a lesser extent, maybe your Stassi's. And
mm-hmm.
but what I really got really tuned into were who were the real good guys and who were the real bad guys.
Okay.
James Kennedy is a good guy on this show.
Yeah.
Through and through. He came into the show in a position of a villain, but he's a good guy, you mm-hmm. know?
He's authentic.
Katie Maloney is a menace.
She is formerly a wolf in sheep's clothing, but now just a wolf.
It's tied up into like what, how much like genuineness. What's the noun form of genuine? Genuineness. Genuineness.
That works for me.
Genuosity.
I like genuosity.
How much genuosity are you bringing to the table? And there's different gradations, and people are bringing different levels of it at different times.
Yeah.
But
I think Sandoval and James kind of have a lot in common as far as like how emotional they get about things. Because Sandoval's a really emotional guy.
Sandoval and Ariana are constantly being given grief mm-hmm. for giving James chances and giving Lala chances. But I get that.
Yeah.
That's like what being a human being is all about.
Yeah.
You don't just do this like Mean Girls thing where it's like, oh,
you're done. We're not friends with them.
You went to the party when I was fighting with her. That's it.
Yeah. James is just like, he's consumed with and acts from his pain. But the good thing about him is that he's honest about like where this pain is coming from. And it's not always going to be pretty, but he's here for it. And it's like, he's working through it.
I really entered with him on his ice cream fixation as well. I was really on board.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah. I would love to see more of James. I'm sad that we've gotten like, we've missed him for like the past 2 or 3 episodes. Like he wasn't in any of the, they didn't even flash to him during like the New Orleans stuff.
They didn't do a fake like cooked up.
Yeah.
Storyline for him.
They just kind of left him. But I think that's also a thing that makes me a little bit mad about this show is that I feel like the main cast members very much control the narrative of like who's going to get screen time and who isn't. And they know that if they band up together and like refuse to film with someone, then that person will eventually get phased out of the show. So I think that that's what they've all decided to do with James. And that's why we're seeing less of him.
But we call that the Lauren Conrad.
Mm-hmm. They're totally Conrading James.
Maloney is LCing everyone.
Yeah. And like, it's really like Maloney, Doty, and Stassi who decide, and then now that they're banded together, it's like whatever they say goes. Yeah.
You want to talk about a spinoff that I'm definitely not interested in is like this Stassi dating.
I'm like, please spare me. I don't need any more of like Stassi's journey. Like that photo shoot, I was like, I really could have done without that entire thing. Like, I don't care about like your glam. I don't really care. I cared about like the bodysuit just because I was like, that's a wild look. But I'm also like, what dating apps are you on that you're going to do a photo shoot like to put on these dating apps? Like, is she on Raya? Do you think she's on Raya? Are reality shows on Raya? A reality show talent and stars?
I haven't, so I'm on Raya.
Okay, I figured that you were on Raya. I never got approved, which now doesn't matter, but I was burned. I felt very burned by it at the time. And so if I knew that Dodie and Stassi and like Maloney were eligible to be on Raya and could get approved, I would feel even more burned.
If
now.
Memory serves, I don't think I've seen Stassi on there. Mm-hmm. I did see Stassi on Tinder.
Okay.
Like 4 years ago.
They're all on Tinder. Peter was on Tinder. We went on a Tinder date once.
You and Peter?
Yeah.
Did you guys do first base?
There was no real connection there. We went on like a lunch Tinder date.
Something that we should circle back to is the Stassi and Peter connection. But I want to say first that as a person who uses Tinder and Raya and mm-hmm. blah, blah, I'm always confused when you see these women on there with these professional photographs. And it's like, okay, you're a model maybe, but it's like, who told you to be a model?
It confuses me so much.
But this is answering that question, at least in this instance. She's getting her groove back. She's booking a photo shoot so she can feel sexy again.
And she has the mentality, which is like a female mentality that I personally don't relate to, which is like, I need to have like these sexy, like professional photos for my dating app, which is just, I mean, I understand why you would want to do that. But at the same time, I'm just like, I just don't like how it just feels like a lot of energy to put towards like. Because guys don't do that.
It's an automatic swipe left.
It's a left swipe for you.
Yeah, professional photo shoot.
Seems like a lot.
These are my like social media dating automatic red flag swipe left.
Yeah.
Standing in front of angel wings painted on a brick wall.
Mm-hmm. It's a no.
Doing a yoga pose in front of anything.
Okay, actually really appreciate a yoga pose.
Okay.
Because I think, I mean, if a guy, I appreciate it because it's like, I'm athletic and also I'm going to give you like a low-key, very sexual vibe right off the bat.
I think that there's always that thing of like, oh yeah, she's a gymnast, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Oh, she's a
flexible.
She's a ballerina. Mm-hmm. But I've never like thought about flexibility necessarily as a desirable. I've never been like doing sex on someone. I'm like, oh man, I can't like hit this position that I've been trying
only
to get
she
in.
Just do the splits
yeah,
right
man,
now.
She just like. But the women on the dating stuff, they'll hit you with like the tree pose when you get the foot up like this, and then they hit you with the heart, you know,
the hands
together, heart,
yeah,
like, on the mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play that.
It's a spiritual vibe.
I thought that for a while I'd been thinking that Stassi had kind of fallen off.
Mm-hmm.
She was always, in years past, she was always giving you the... So my visual of Stassi is like arms raised as like the over the bikini throw is coming off. Little side boob, mm-hmm. you know.
Like Cabo Stassi, it's my birthday.
Exactly. And I thought that, and when they're doing the nude photo lineup with Peter, everyone is looking good.
So hot.
I thought that those days were behind us, but I must say that in the fishnet onesie, I was like, Stassi still got it.
Yeah, she's Fuck looking it. Good.
Yeah, she's looking good, man.
I miss like pre-filler Stassi with like who had not the ice blonde hair, who was more of like kind of a brunette blonde and just like really just like sharp tongued and like being like demanding and just like crazier, you know?
And really just going full bore with her, like, I'm gonna ice pick you on your balls and then use your balls for something, you know?
She's like, I'm gonna bathe in your fucking blood and then like eat a sandwich. Like, she really got, she was like so hardcore for a while. And now I feel like it's kind of, she's becoming like a reality celeb personality. Like, I feel like she's grooming her, they're all grooming themselves for like the next phase of their career, so to speak. But I really do, and I've been watching like season one a little bit, and it's just like, it's refreshing to know where they came from and see their roots in that way.
She's been struggling to settle into kind of her new role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was like the super villain season one.
Yeah,
you know, the fact that You're going all season one. You're going the whole season. You're like, Stassi is a total nightmare. Poor Jax, you know, this poor guy. And then the twist that he did actually cheat. I mean, one of possibly the most explosive twists in reality show history. Set the whole precedent for the whole.
Yeah, it cemented Vanderpump Rules as like one of the best reality shows of all time.
Agreed. And then she went away, and then she came back, and she did the apology tour.
Yeah.
You know, she's trying to do like the new Stassi, and she's having difficulty kind of, you know, reconciling, you know, how she's going to position herself to her friends and her position to the show.
New Stassi, and how she positions herself to the world. And new Stassi is like, I'm single, and like make a lot of like self-deprecating jokes about like not being married, and like talk about my dating life and like be in fashion and go to fashion week. And I'm like, okay, but it just seems like it seems a little watered down to me in a lot of ways.
It's a little too polished. I'm not buying it. Her quips are like, the jargon she's using is like from 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to be like next season, she's going to be hitting them with like the cash me outside, you know? Stassi does a lot of this like sort of hand motions.
Mm-hmm.
That like the viewer, that the listeners cannot see what I'm doing right now, but
it's like a side to side.
It's like a very like shoulder shruggy, like who would have, like what, this is what I'm doing? Like, yeah. Who does this?
She's very performative now, which, and she always has been like having like this kind of dynamic performative vibe, but now it seems even more refined and put on and like, it's meticulously crafted.
There's so many layers to it.
Yeah.
That it's like difficult to figure out like what layer she's on.
But I will say, I think that we're not going to get rid of Stassi anytime soon. Like, I think she's about to be like around, if not in like a reality show way, then as like a hosting some sort of thing way, or like she's going to be like a prevalent personality and brand,
as she should be, because she's got that like dumbed down, really accessible, not that sharp, like whatever Jay Leno style.
Yeah. And for like middle America, like kind of basic women, she is this kind of pillar of like fashion, hilarious like jokes. And she is the aspirational person.
That's exactly right.
That they all want. That's so exactly right. She's like a human Ugg boot.
She's your like The View round table, like lowest common denominator daytime TV.
Yeah, she's really good for like if you live in Nebraska and you are crafting this idea of what like a California girl is, then you see Stassi and you're like, wow.
None of them are ever really like serving a one-liner that I'm like, yo, you know.
Jax does kind of like, he'll have little quips and it's not really like one-liners, he's just more like sarcastic and shady, like when he's like, don't you have to be in this, wouldn't Mike Shay have to be in the same room as Sheena to like get her pregnant, like when he is like making fun of other people's relationships and stuff, I'm really there for Jax's like humor. It's not like he's not going outside of the box and giving me like a crazy lol where I'm like, wow, you're so smart and like on it. But he does have like his ability to read people. I like it.
He does have good takes because he's in the way that he's hiding behind the hotel door instead of injecting himself in the argument, mm-hmm. he's grown up a little.
Yeah.
And he's removed himself from the drama that he had, that he now is able to have like the funny, good perspective on.
He's showing he's displaying a lot of maturity that I appreciate, and like I'm excited to see like where he goes.
He
from
is
here.
Often the voice of reason.
I know, which is shocking in this day and age. Wait, we need to talk about a couple things. One is Lisa riding a horse to Sir.
And claiming that there were just some horses outside that she just hopped on.
I've lived in West Hollywood now for 6 years almost. Very close to that entire like area.
I've never once seen a
horse on the streets here, ever.
And she's like, oh, I'm going to just hop on this horse. She must have hired the horses, right?
I don't know, but I got to give it to her. Like, that was a twist I didn't see coming, and I appreciated it. It was like extra thirsty, but in just the right way where I was like, God, Lisa.
I wanted to see, like, I don't know if you know this, but like Ariana like is a horse person. Like she grew up around horses. Yeah. So like she like knows about horses. I wanted Ariana to be like, oh, you know, actually like the way that she was like sitting on the saddle is like not the correct way to sit on the saddle. or like, actually, you know, it's like actually problematic to like have like the horses on the concrete, like the shoes aren't the right shoes for that.
Or like in the street next to so many cars could really spook them. I did also found myself wanting Ariana's take, and it reminded me of the episode before where they went horseback riding together, which I was like, that's a really cool way to bond with Lisa.
Who went horseback riding with Lisa?
Ariana and Lisa.
Okay.
Went like to the stables and like did a little run around the track on like Lisa's horses. James was he was giving me a lot this episode, but then he said he was really mean about Kristen when he was like, Raquel is my queen, I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And he was like, Kristen is some hooker that you fuck on the hood of your BMW.
That's when James is at his worst.
Yeah, he backslides into,
he doesn't have a handle on like what is okay and not okay to say about a person, especially a woman, a lot of times.
I feel like where you were pointing out where like Kristen has a lot of baggage surrounding Sandoval, James still has a lot of baggage surrounding Kristen. It became this like chain reaction where she was so spurned and like saddened by her relationship with Sandoval ending that she like inflicted the same amount of pain onto like someone else.
James is just, you know, he's got such a chip on his shoulder, and he's so insecure. So his entire his ego, he's standing on his ego. You know, it's mm-hmm. all, he's like just a walking ego, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like whenever something is a threat to that, he needs to like attack it.
Yeah. I suffer from anxiety. It's just a fact of life.
What message was her outfit supposed to be sending? Is she just on some like, okay, I'm on camera, I gotta like,
I think she goes on camera and she goes hard.
Yeah, she just goes hard.
She
you're
goes
not
a
gonna,
full contour,
you're not gonna,
a frosty
you're
eye.
Not gonna catch her in like a pair of jeans.
No, she like puts the extensions in and then like did like a sporty look, like with her like silk booty shorts and a stiletto. It was a really intense daytime look.
It's gotta be exhausting.
She's always in like a night
to need to serve looks like that.
A nighttime look in a daytime scenario.
That's a power move that she was able to pull as the hostess when she's getting into it with whoever she's getting into it with, and they're wearing like the gauze like server mm-hmm. dress with the little like checkbook purse. And she's like rocking some,
she's like fully in like a bodycon look with
like amazing
6
outfit.
Inch, like
you
Louboutins.
Can't. It doesn't matter what you're not going to win that argument against
no.
her when you're wearing a uniform and she's serving a look like that.
She's always dressing like she's in a rap video
the,
in like
the falling
mid-aughts rap.
is like her right
she
there.
Looks like, I'm sure this has been said before, but she looks like a Bratz doll.
She does. But she also has like this porn star aesthetic to her.
She's
as well.
Got like a very like, it's like the hoop earrings, and she looks like she should always be like popping like a big ass bubblegum pop, mm-hmm. you know. But she is another person who's my only real foray into like sort of involving myself with these people outside of the show was I did have Lala on Snapchat for a little while, but her face is another one of these faces that is like just challenging to be to have
you can't get down with
in,
it
to have in front of you, you know. Yeah. The anxiety thing is getting thrown out a lot these days.
Mm-hmm. Anxiety is like a chic thing, I think, to capitalize on.
It's like, join the fucking club.
Yeah, like, who fucking doesn't have crippling anxiety?
Crippling anxiety at all times.
You don't see, like, I'm not gonna just, like, stop doing every single thing I'm doing and because I have anxiety.
And it's supposed to be like this big reveal. Like, I'm not sure if I'm gonna say it or not. What you don't actually know about me is I suffer from anxiety.
Like, it's a real fucking thing. I'm like, Lala, take some Lexapro and get over it.
It's like, also, yeah, it's like some of us are out here without access to the stuff.
Well, RIP, Lala. I think this is like the final thing we get of her. She does make an appearance at the reunion. I don't know if she's going to even be back on the show next season or not. I don't know if the show's been renewed for another season. I'm sure it will be. But like, I think that signals the end of her short and sweet reign of terror over the Vanderpump Rules cast.
We're at the point where everything's about to dissolve. Maybe there'll be one more season of like Vanderpump proper. Mm-hmm. But just in the same way that you said, Stassi is a person that we're going to be seeing more of in whatever guys that may be. I think that Lala is a person that we certainly, hopefully should be seeing.
I'm ready for her like R&B career to launch, and like, yeah.
It's too bad that there's no such thing as an MTV VJ anymore.
Oh my god, you're right.
Lala
she would be
would
perfect
be a
for that.
Like a primo.
She was like born in the wrong time period. I'm sorry, but
yeah.
She truly is,
yeah,
like a mid-aughts,
like the
babe.
Early 2000s.
And she can't. And now it's like she's not. For this world, you know, the wrong era.
But maybe she'll just, you know, disappear into the obscurity of, you know, having a rich boyfriend and just
maybe
being cool with that,
being a babe.
I don't see like a pervasive like musical offering coming from her.
Who do you think is gonna make it as far as like between Mike Shay and Lala in the music world?
Nobody is gonna be offering original music. Mm-hmm. In a successful way.
Okay.
James Kennedy will always get the residency at Hakkai-san. You know, Shay will get the whatever the rung down below that is, and Lala will always have like the, oh, Lala's gonna perform her new song at Wet Republic.
Yeah.
But you're never gonna see like a like pop rising Spotify playlist featuring like the new
James Kennedy
the
track,
new Lala Kent.
The new Lala Kent.
John.
What? Okay, so do you think James is gonna make it to Coachella?
James is gonna be at like the Mike's Hard Lemonade tent at like at the PlayStation 2 bungalow in Indian Wells.
Like Coachella after party?
No.
Or day party?
Yeah, like 2:30 p.m. on Friday.
Closer to his dream than ever, but still not quite
and
there.
And in his mind, that's Coachella. Yeah. That's as good as it gets. He'll promote it and he'll brag about it.
So here for James like becoming like a DJ We Are Your Friends style, like having his like breakthrough moment. I feel like all his pain could pay off in like the great gift of like his DJ career taking off. In my mind, like my fantasy is
I would love to see something like that happen. I don't from what I've witnessed thus far, I don't think the talent is there.
Okay.
I think that he's, what did he do? He did that rap.
He's rapping now.
But it's not good, I don't think.
It's pretty good.
I think that there's something about a person that's a real artist that they're not going to jeopardize that by going on the reality show in the first place. They're going to want to maintain their integrity mm-hmm. by not being the guy from the reality show.
It's like a conflicting brand scenario.
Although I've always said that, you know, he got a lot of guff for calling himself the white Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
But calling yourself the white Kanye is what the white Kanye would do.
Yeah, I love that. I think on that note, we've just about covered all of our bases. Do you have any parting thoughts or feelings or emotions?
Just want to express my gratitude for doing the couch with you, being here. This is a high point for me in my career as a consumer of reality television.
This is huge for me. I feel like it's been a year in the making. Like, we met almost a year ago and I was like, you gotta come on, like, you gotta do the podcast, and we laid the groundwork and we followed through. So it's been a real dream come true for me.
If only somebody had a microphone on when we were, you know, doing spicy margs at 9 a.m.
mm-hmm.
poolside.
We were having our own James Kennedy Coachella moments. So we did it. You'll have to come back. Maybe when you move to manage Sir and turn it in, whip it into shape.
When I'm cast as like a new guy from New York
mm-hmm.
comes in, will Schwartz and Sandoval accept him into the group?
Yeah.
Or will he be ostracized? Ah, la, la, la.
I love that concept of like trying to get a new guy into the fold that's not James, because we haven't ever really gotten to see that aside from James. I feel like they've cycled through like a lot of like females have tried to come in. Like, we had Laura Lee, we had Vale, Lala, but really the only dude has been James.
Has been so James.
I think that there's a door is wide open for you to get in there.
we thought for a minute that Ariana's brother was going to be maybe
Jeremy.
Jeremy Maddox.
Jeremy. Oh.
Will it be me? I'll give the listeners a hint. It won't be.
But stay tuned, because you just never know what could happen.
But I'll be back on the couch.
All right. Look forward to it.